There was this New York Times article about like this failed podcast that like three white women, like white cis women started.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, and they just rented out a room in a library.
They didn't
and they
do
sat like
anything.
They sat like an iPhone 5 on the table, and they would just talk for an hour. And they did six episodes. We did two, and we put in like
we've
at the
put
start
in
of our podcast,
more effort.
We put in like 10 times more effort, but like I was afraid that we were gonna become like
get
that
profiled
podcast.
By the New York Times.
Yeah, just like, so do you want to talk to us about your failed podcast that went on hiatus and never came back?
Ooh,
so
no, because we actually
this.
Like take pride in our creative endeavors. I think.
Yeah, speaking of renting a room in a library. We rented a room
in a library.
Yeah, in a library, and we're actually in the same room right now. So if
yeah.
I wanted to just like throw something at your dumb fucking head,
that
I
would
could.
Be terrible for an entirely audio medium.
I could, like right now.
Don't you? Ah, I'm hit.
Yeah, you'll never know if I actually. If
well, you'll know by my fake-ass response.
Yeah, true. What if we just become Foley artists for a podcast?
Can we do an episode about Foley?
I'm going to buy I'm going to buy a
just
slide
actually,
whistle. Just for the Foley.
Just entirely interpretive Foley work.
This is fucking dumb. All right.
All right. Welcome to Alchemy Hour. Fuck.
What? You forgot the intro to our own show?
Welcome to Alchemy Hour, the show where we take one topic each episode and forget half of it.
And then
I'm Violet Rose.
Fuck. I'm Nolan Miles, and this podcast is going to hell.
All right, this is our intro now.
All right. All right. Yeah, we also take your questions and answer them
yes.
and take your fun facts and shoot the shit
react,
out of them.
React to them.
I
this is a reaction YouTube channel now.
Bienvenue,
okay.
Power Bottoms.
Okay. We have to start the show.
Yeah, let's
We've
start
been recording
the show.
For like 10 minutes. Alright, so today's topic, my topic, it's my turn. Episode 3 is, I'm gonna talk about some cool-ass spacecraft propulsion shit.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. So Nolan, what do you know about rocket science? As a theater bachelor's graduate.
As someone with a bachelor's degree.
In theater.
In theater. So, yeah, as someone with a bachelor's degree, I know almost nothing about rocket science. I know that there's a game called, like, Kestrel Space Program or something.
Kerbal Space Program. Kestrel is a type of bird.
I don't even... Oh, I'm thinking of the game FTL, which you have a ship named the Kestrel. But the Kerbal Space Program, I know that if your rocket doesn't work, you can just add on like 80 more thrusters to it.
More
so,
struts, more boosters.
So
I'm
like,
an avid player of KSP.
I would imagine that rocket science in real life is the exact same as in a funny haha video game.
To be fair, Kerbal Space Program is actually like semi-realistic.
Is it really? I know
yeah.
nothing about
it. I mean,
it.
Like the planets are different, and they're like it's easier.
Okay.
But also, there are mods that give you like real solar system and.
Well, there's mods that make Skyrim more realistic, quote unquote.
No, like, but these are like good.
Oh, okay.
They like put the real solar system to scale and stuff in
yeah,
the game.
Yeah. Spoilers: Vi doesn't like Skyrim.
I don't.
We've already, on this podcast, we've talked shit about Harry Potter.
The Office, Harry Potter.
You cut out the bit that you said about The Office.
Oh,
and
yeah,
then you
fuck
left
The
in,
Office.
Then you left in my bit about Harry Potter. Although we didn't get any flack
for
disliking Harry Potter, so.
We both shit-talked Harry Potter.
That's
though.
True. We both share the guilt.
Also... if you have a problem with me shit-talking Harry Potter, J.K. Rowling is a TERF, so...
Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck
J.K.
off.
Rowling is a TERF, I forgot that.
I wish I could forget
did
that.
Did you know that, here's,
Hey, wasn't I gonna talk about space?
I just wanna say that,
okay.
Some new news has come out. Did you know that Snape is a single mother? Go on, talk about space.
Okay. So first I'm going to start off with, like, you know, what's regular rocket fuel, right?
Well, yeah. I know that it can't melt steel beams, so that's jet fuel. But the look on your face. You just have this dead inside look. Oh, like, why do we have this show?
So one of the most common chemical fuels that we use is called hypergolic fuels.
Okay.
So what hypergolic fuels are is you have the actual fuel itself, right? And then you have the oxidizer.
Okay.
So the oxidizer oxidizes things, right?
And I would imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the fuel is like a reducing agent. So a lot of the time we use like dinitrogen tetroxide or red fuming nitric acid or white fuming nitric acid.
H2O4, right?
Dinitrogen.
N2O4. N2O4.
Yes.
I misheard.
Those are our oxidizers, and like nitric acid.
Okay.
And then for the fuel, we use hydrazine or some derivative of it, like monomethyl hydrazine or unsymmetrical dimethyl hydrazine.
What the fuck does any of that mean?
Unsymmetrical, so like,
well,
hydrazine is N2H4, right?
Okay.
So it's like,
I used to know
it's two nitrogens double bonded, and then they each have two oxygen or hydrogens.
I feel like they taught us this.
Nitrogen,
like,
has three bonds total.
Yeah.
So that nitrogen-nitrogen double bond is the hydrazine, like, base unit.
Okay.
So a methyl is like a CH3 group.
Okay, yeah.
So you have, like, monomethyl is obviously just one, replacing one of those four hydrogens. And unsymmetrical dimethyl would be, there's two methyls on each. Hi, we have this room signed out till like 6:30, I'm sorry.
Out? I thought we signed out. Yeah, we just booked it on the, there was
We fucked up booking the room.
Yeah, so we had to move to a different room.
Yeah.
So now we're in a different room.
And we've booked it properly this time, hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully. Just another cut to like eight more groups coming in, like,
yeah. The audio just cuts out again, and it's like, so we're back.
We're recording in like an alley.
We're recording on the side of the road right now. Okay. Where the hell was I? I'm gonna cut out everything right up until we got, like, right after we got interrupted.
Yeah.
Until, like, right now.
You mentioned that rocket fuel is rocket fuel or something.
Yeah, hydrazine, yeah. And the derivatives, basically. So, I said these were called what fuels?
I don't know. Okay. Rocket fuel?
No. Well, yes, it is rocket fuel. But
I didn't know I would be tested on this. Yes, okay,
yes.
Now I remember, because you told me.
Yes, so hypergolicity is when two substances will react spontaneously, or like immediately upon contact with each other.
Hmm.
So in this case, they like they combust.
Okay.
So this is really good, because you don't have to light the rocket engine, right? You just shoot these two things out of it.
You just kind of put them together and they explode.
Exactly.
Humans are...
Well, they don't explode, they burn.
People are
just... They deflagrate.
Okay, fair. But people are just absolutely crazy, because you see, like, oh, these two things burst into flames when they come in contact with each other. I'm going to push that through a nozzle,
and then we're going to go to some rocks really far away.
Yeah, we're going to go to the moon, and we're going to plant our fucking flag on it.
This isn't even the wildest, like, form of propulsion that I'm going to talk about today.
This sounds like satire, but go on.
No, it's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really all I have to say about hypergolic fuel. So the next one is a type of, like, rocket engine design, not so much as, like, fuel. Mm-hmm. And the next one after that is also... this one is the nuclear thermal rocket.
Okay.
This is a rocket, a thermal rocket, which uses the expansion of a quote-unquote working fluid, which is usually liquid hydrogen.
Okay.
So it's not burning, it's like expanding from liquid to gas by being heated.
Hmm.
And the heating method in this case, in this design, is a nuclear reactor.
Just go on to the next fucking type of fuel. It's just like, oh yeah, let's just use nukes to go to the moon.
Oh, that's
Mars.
Not even the wildest nuclear thing. There's a theoretical propulsion system, I guess you would call it, rocket engine. I don't know.
Yeah.
That propels you using nuclear explosions. It's only theoretical at this point.
It's just a nuke strapped to a funnel, and like, and that's it.
I mean, you're not like that far off.
You're Doctor Strange loving, where you're just like straddling the rocket with a cowboy hat.
Oh my god, Doctor Strange Love is a really good movie.
I've never actually seen it. I've only seen that scene. So go on with.
So yeah. The thing about these nuclear rockets is, like, they have a really high, or a pretty high, like, specific impulse, which is basically just fuel efficiency of mm-hmm. rockets, so, like, how much fuel it takes to change your velocity by X amount, basically.
Okay. I'm sorry, I'm just thinking about the topic that's gonna be next episode while you're talking about this
God
serious
damn it.
Stuff. I can't.
Is this stuff not cool enough for you? Because like,
no, please go on. Like this is actually really awesome.
So yeah, I think the last
you just picked a co-host with like borderline ADHD.
You know I have ADHD, right?
I don't even know if I have it. I have been told countless times, like, you probably have it, and I'm like, I don't know. We're gonna cut that audio out, aren't we?
I'll figure it out later. So there was a program that was looking into this. It was a joint program between NASA and the Atomic Energy Commission.
Okay.
And it was
AOC.
Called AOC. Yeah, AEC. The Atomic Energy Commission.
Listen.
No, you fucked up.
I've drank
with the consequences.
I've drank too much dumb bitch juice today, okay?
it was called NERVA, and NERVA. it ended
you
in 1973 because
NERVA.
Yeah.
NORVA.
Okay. Are you ready for this wild-ass shit that is the last one?
Okay.
This is called
You've literally described...
All of these as wild-ass shit?
No, but just using a nuke, and that's not even the tame one. Or that's one of the tame ones.
I mean, I think the nuclear thermal rocket is probably, like, the wildest, like, the least tame.
Okay.
Or the nuclear explosion one that I won't go into much detail.
So what's the wild...
This ion thruster... is the coolest one, in my opinion.
Anything with the word thruster in it is immediately going to be cool.
True. So, ion thrusters are super efficient, low thrust engines for use. They only work in the vacuum of space, but like...
Yeah.
Yeah. So these, they have like really low thrust, like 25 to 250 millinewtons. Which is not a lot.
Yeah, millinewton is like a thousandth of how
one the average apple has the weight force of about 1 newton.
Okay.
So if you hold an apple, so that's like exerting about 1 newton of force on your hand.
So that's like a thousandth of an apple falling down. Like due to gravity.
250 millinewtons would be a quarter of that.
Okay, so I'm just talking about 1 millinewton would just be
one thousandth of the weight of an apple.
which is what I have for breakfast every morning.
Yeah.
How to stay in shape, eat a thousandth of an apple.
So, experimental versions have achieved up to 5 newtons.
Okay, so that's almost nothing. That's just 5 apples dropping to the ground.
Yeah. In comparison, you know the Apollo, like the Saturn V, right?
Yes.
You know that top stage that has like the command capsule and then the fuel tank with the engine?
Yeah.
Right? That engine outputted 91 kilonewtons.
So that is 91,000 newtons.
91,000 newtons.
Okay, so 5 newtons, I can literally just go to the grocery store, get a bag of 6 apples, and exert more than this space program has funded millions of dollars into.
Here's the thing, right?
Yeah.
Is orbital mechanics are weird?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it just means that, like, a burn to change your orbit will just take longer with lower thrust.
Okay.
Like, once you're up in the vacuum of space in a stable orbit, it's not gonna, like, throw you back into the atmosphere or something. Like, this works great.
You don't need to...
Because they are so goddamn efficient. Right.
Really?
So I wrote down the ISP, which is the specific impulse, which is the efficiency, which is in seconds for some reason. It has to do with how the math works out. For that Apollo command module had 314 seconds specific impulse. Ion engines and ion thrusters, have 1,500 to 3,000, about.
Okay. Seconds. So wait, what is, like, a second, just...
I would have to look it up, but it's sort of... It's, like, the amount of fuel that you use and how much it changes, like, how much you can change your velocity per unit of fuel.
Okay, so...
Meters per second is your delta V, change of velocity.
Oh, okay,
and,
so...
Yeah.
Just math talk. So, like, acceleration is in, like, meters per second squared.
And so thrust is in newtons, which is kilogram meters per second squared. So, like, somewhere in all of those units that
there's
you use...
There's a second.
There's seconds that specific impulse ends up being.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, they are very low thrust, but... They are so efficient. I didn't even explain how they work yet.
Yeah, how do they work?
Okay,
you said they're ions, right?
Yes, ions. So what they do is they use the Coulomb force, which is basically repulsion of similar electric charges.
Okay.
It ionizes xenon. So you have a big tank of like liquid xenon.
Okay.
And then it,
which I imagine is just like a big green chemical like you'd see in Batman. Or in Superman, sorry.
I don't know what color xenon is.
Xenon
colorless, obviously, in like air.
In gas form.
In gas
like,
form.
I'd imagine it's just a big tub of like
liquid xenon.
Green liquid.
Probably like, looks probably pretty similar to like liquid nitrogen. Like
probably bubbling and emitting toxic radioactive fumes.
No, xenon's like, not radioactive.
That will turn you into a Superman villain.
This is a problem trying to do a science podcast with you.
If you happen to fall into it. Am I correct?
No.
God damn
not
it.
Not at all.
Listen, Vi, I just want to be a Batman villain, and I want... This is the purpose of the podcast. So, unless you
are telling
me...
The purpose of the podcast is to turn you into a Batman villain.
Yes. We shared a look of dumbfounded stupidity in silence.
Oh my god.
But I want to be a Batman villain.
They take this liquid xenon and they shoot it out into this chamber or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And they ionize it. They basically strip electrons off of the xenon atom.
Hmm.
And then they have, obviously, a positive charge. So then you put a positive charge on the, or I guess, positive electric field through that, and they will be expelled out the back of the ship.
Okay, wait, the electrons will, or just the whole
xenon? The xenon ions.
Okay, so yeah. You've got a big tub of xenon, you've got an ionizer, which removes the electrons.
Yeah,
and you have then you just have, like, a big kind of
after
dumping mechanism that shoots the xenon out into space.
Yes.
Now,
and that produces thrust.
If the xenon were to hit an asteroid, would that asteroid...
It spreads out into the vacuum of space.
Would that... But if it were to hit an asteroid...
Okay.
Would... Bear with me here. I know you're looking at me like I'm five, but... If it were to hit an asteroid... Would that asteroid then come to life and invade Earth for revenge?
Oh my god. I can't deal with you.
It's okay. I can't deal with me either.
You know what I can deal with?
What?
Fucking your wife.
Not if I fuck my wife first. That's right.
This is the worst bit.
I don't know why we did this... We did this bit when we were going to get, like, when we were going to get lunch.
This is not even the first time that I've done that.
Yeah,
like,
you turn to me and you're like, hey, Nolan, guess what? I'm like, what is it, Vi, one of my best friends? And you're like, I'm gonna fuck your wife.
I'm just trying to turn it into a running joke.
Okay.
Like, hey, buddy, I'm gonna fuck your wife.
Zooey mama. Do you remember Diary of a Wimpy Kid?
Yes, yes, I do.
I don't know why we're talking about this in the middle of the section about rocket fuel, but go on. Do you have more to say about rocket
fuel? Yeah, so it takes those electrons, and once the xenon has exited, it shoots the electrons back in, so you're not, like, shooting
and then the
ions
asteroid.
Out into space, and so the spacecraft doesn't accumulate a charge.
Okay.
And, like, attract the xenon back to it, because that would cancel out the thrust.
Oh, so if
You don't...
If you hang on to those electrons...
If you don't deionize the xenon...
Okay, so...
Basically,
they get rid of the electrons,
too,
right?
Yeah, they get rid of the electrons. They sort of spray them into the cloud of
xenon. Because...
Yeah.
That actually makes a lot of sense, because if you have, like, something with a very positive charge, those xenon particles in space are going to come right back, right?
Yeah. So,
I finally get something that you've said that was smart and I didn't know before.
Exactly.
Oh my god.
Yeah, so to just give you, like, some better understanding of the efficiency of these, I have these numbers from, again, the Apollo command module, and, like, a certain ion engine on, like, I think it was Deep Space One probe.
Okay.
That had one of these. The Apollo command module had 120 kilograms of monomethylhydrazine and nitrogen tetroxide, so NO4.
Okay.
Right? So 120 kilograms of fuel in total. This Deep Space One, I'm pretty sure, I could be wrong, had used 74 kilograms of xenon. So, like, almost half. Apollo command module with all that fuel, could change its velocity by a total of 2,800 meters per second.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know what to offer to this.
Yeah. The ion engine could change its velocity by 4,300 meters per second.
Okay, so...
So half as much fuel, twice as much delta V.
So the ion sounds like the best way to go.
Yes, so it is the most, like, one of the most efficient.
So it's probably not going to be used by the U.S. Government. So what is the most common...
Well, okay, NASA and the U.S. Like, NASA's the U.S. government, but it makes smart decisions.
Okay, fair. NASA's just where all the smart people in the U.S. government go.
Exactly.
And the rest of them go to anywhere else in
literally
the U.S. government.
Else.
So what's like the most common? Like, what kind of...
The most common is hypergolic fuels. And also for like stuff like reaction control,
mm-hmm.
Basically like precise maneuvers, we use monopropellant, like thermal engines. So that's like the nuclear one, but it like heats it up to expel it out, but it's not like nuclear.
Okay, so what did we use to get to like the moon and in the Apollo missions, like
that
in 1969, what did we use?
I literally just watched a documentary about this,
and you forgot.
But
it.
I'm pretty sure it was all hypergolics. But some rockets now use cryogenic fuels, which is like liquid hydrogen and liquid oxygen.
They got Mr. Freeze working on it. I bring it back to the Batman villains every time.
We are really Batman-centric.
I have no idea why we are so Batman-centric on this
I don't
podcast.
Even, like, watch or even, read any Batman.
Yeah, you don't even like Batman, do you?
No.
He used to be my favorite superhero. Now I have no idea, because my concept of heroes has faltered. It's... I don't know
my
what
my favorite
even
superhero
saying.
Is Karl Marx.
My favorite superhero is Carl Weezer from Jimmy Neutron.
My favorite superhero is Weezer, the band.
My favorite superhero is Love Handle from Phineas and Ferb. Just all of it. This is a dumb bit. Let's move on.
Okay.
Do you have more to talk about, or should we go into the questions?
We should go to the questions and fun facts.
Yeah.
Which,
I think on...
No one replied to my post again.
On the post that I made, we got a couple.
Yeah.
Let me just,
Let's see.
I'm looking at one of the fun facts.
We didn't get that many fun facts.
Rachel Farrell, a good friend of both of us, sent us
and,
a fun fact.
And will be our co-host if we ever do like a comedy podcast.
Oh, yes.
We could branch out.
Yeah, we could branch out. We have... We've received a fun fact from her that I am not sure is true
Very
or not.
Very fun.
Or fun. Fun fact, a dozen bodies were found in Benjamin Franklin's basement.
What do you think the autopsy results showed? Like, how do you think they died?
Lightning.
Lightning?
I think that Ben Franklin finally went, you know... full like Superman villain or like Star Wars villain and like had force lightning powers after he got struck with the key incident.
I think that's definitely the case.
He shot lightning from his hands and he yelled unlimited power. And I think the reason that Ben Franklin died, and I'm pretty sure this is in the history books, was that while he was doing that to someone, someone like pulled out like a mirror and it turned it around on him, so he became like Palpatine, where he had like this gross wrinkly monster face, and he just died.
Are you saying Ben Franklin didn't already have a gross wrinkly monster face?
Okay, Ben Franklin is I was gonna say a national treasure just because he looks like Danny DeVito, but he had some very weird.
He looks
views.
Like half Danny DeVito, half Mitch McConnell.
He's Danny DeVito and Mitch McConnell with a MILF fetish.
Wait.
I think he wrote about how like older women make much better lovers because they're not like as emotionally attached. Than like younger women.
That's,
yes, it's fucked.
That's a wild reason.
It's
first of all,
fucked. But it's also like, I think one of his. I'm not sure because we never look anything up on this show.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure
that would ruin the whole point of the show.
Fair. I'm pretty sure one of the reasons was like, they've already gone through menopause, so they can't have kids. So. Ben Franklin liked to raw dog it.
I don't know if there were that many options otherwise back in the day.
Well, they...
Back in the old-timey.
I'm pretty sure they had condoms back then.
Really?
Right? They had, like, lamb...
What?
They had, like, sheepskin, right?
That's true.
Yeah. I mean, they weren't...
They didn't...
They weren't, like, branded...
They still have lambskin condoms, to be fair.
They still... Yeah, as long as there will be lambs and sheep, there's going to be lambskin.
Well, no, I mean, they still have lambskin condoms.
Well, yeah,
they do not.
If you have a latex allergy.
This is important, listeners. Lambskin condoms do not protect against STDs, only pregnancy.
Really?
Yes.
What? Wait. This is like... Why don't they protect?
I assume they're too porous. Not porous enough for semen to get through, but...
Oh.
Like, porous enough for, like, a virus or bacteria to get through.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow. So if you have a latex allergy and your partner has an STD, you're kind of fucked.
No, they make non-latex condoms.
Do they?
Yeah. Pretty sure.
I thought that
lambskin
was, like, the only alternative.
I don't think so. I think...
Yeah.
This is the 21st century.
How do we get to this from Ben Franklin has a dozen bodies in his basement? I'm going to look... I'm going to have to look up Ben Franklin bodies.
Ben Franklin basement.
Ben Franklin bodies.
NSFW. Safe search off.
Why was Benjamin Franklin's basement filled with... This is in the Smithsonian Magazine.
Oh my God.
God. Rachel wasn't fucking with us. She sent us the truth. We're gonna get, like, a SWAT team bursting through the windows at any second, like, taking us away.
Oh my God.
Why was Benjamin Franklin's basement filled with skeletons? Repairs on Franklin's old London house turned up 1,200 pieces of bone from at least 15 people.
Oh my God.
Okay, I'm just gonna, in 1998, conservationists, not conservatives, as I was originally gonna read it, were doing repairs on 36 Craven, his London house, looking to turn Franklin's old haunt into a museum. From a 1 meter wide, 1 meter deep pit, over 1,200 pieces of bone were retrieved. Remnants of more than a dozen bodies, says Benjamin Franklin House. Six were children.
Hey, Ben?
What the fuck?
Hey, Ben?
Yeah,
What the fuck?
Forensic investigation showed that the bones dated to Franklin's day. So it wasn't like... using Ben Franklin's house
Ben
to, like,
Franklin
store bones.
Was a fucking serial killer.
He was a powerful Freemason.
You're right.
You remember
This is getting into, like, conspiracy theory territory, we read this in the Smithsonian.
Yeah. You remember when me and Rachel called up the Freemasons and they got kind of mad at us because we kept calling them?
No, I don't
that
remember
that information
this.
Is, like, right out there. You can just straight up call the Freemasons and ask
Yeah, they did it on the Mabimbam TV show.
Yeah. Thanks for pointing out that we stole it from Mabimbam.
Yeah, you're welcome. I will call you out.
The truth, it turns out, isn't quite so dark. The most plausible explanation is not mass murder, but an anatomy school run by Benjamin Franklin's young friend and protege, William Hewson. Sure.
See, now I wish you hadn't
William Hewson's just an accomplice in the mass murder of 15 people. Done by Ben Franklin and the Freemasons.
I'm pretty sure there were people who, like, killed people so that their bodies could be, examined by medical students. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, that's called a fucking murderer.
I remember it on an episode of Sawbones.
Really?
Yeah.
There are people that just murdered people just so they can...
It was either that or they stole their bodies, but I'm...
They stole their bones.
Yeah.
Okay, Frankenstein. All right.
So, let's get a question.
Yeah.
Our good friend, Justin Pope, wants to know our most controversial opinions and why we think that way.
Okay, you first. Because my controversial opinion is actually kind of controversial, and I've said it before, not on the show.
Okay. My most controversial opinion. Black licorice is fucking delicious.
Okay, fuck you. Okay, fuck you. We're done with this podcast.
Oh my god. Look, listen, I mean, everyone's tastes are different, but for some reason...
Black licorice is universally hated, and for good reason.
It's actually not, though. I mean, I'm sure in Europe or something, like, people love it.
I mean, he also...
We Americans all fucking hate it, because it's not sweet. It's not sickeningly sweet.
Okay, but, like, we also like spicy candy, or... Not spicy, but, like...
Spicy candy is good.
But, like, cinnamon or something, or, okay. Like... And we also enjoy some savory stuff,
or
salty
candies.
We love sour stuff too.
Oh, that's true.
So you ever try like toxic waste candy or like Sour Patch Kids?
You know
or?
What all of that is besides like the sour stuff?
What?
Citric acid,
sugar.
Yeah, sugar.
Okay, fair. But so is black licorice.
Like I would be willing to bet that all of the candies that are just like pure sugar, like Skittles, Starburst. Shit like that was all originated in America for an American market.
Oh, definitely. I mean, you can trace it back.
Sugary sodas, that like Coca-Cola, that originated in the U.S.
Oh, yeah.
Also, shout out to that time that Coca-Cola had a failed marketing campaign in Britain because they advertised it as being full of spunk.
Oh. Oh, no.
And if you don't know...
Even in America, spunk is used as...
But it's a lot more common in Britain.
A lot more common.
God damn it. Yeah,
we're ending the podcast.
Listeners, if you don't know, spunk is a British colloquialism for jizz.
Yeah.
Or semen, as it is
properly
called.
Thank you for pulling the trigger while I was slowly leaning into the mic to say cum loudly.
That's nothing. Pepsi almost gave away a Harrier jet.
That's almost nothing. Coca-Cola hired death squads to assassinate union members.
Oof.
We're cutting that out so we don't get murdered by Coca-Cola.
I wouldn't mind being murdered by Coca-Cola. As long as they give me some of that orange vanilla shit first. God, it's so good.
That I don't even like Coca-Cola, and I like their orange vanilla stuff. So
good.
You know,
Coca-Cola, please sponsor us.
Maybe murdering those trade union activists was a good thing because we got
if
that
you sponsor
sweet
us, you can pay us in just orange vanilla Coke, though.
If you sponsor us, we will take it as hush money and not talk about Coca-Cola again.
Yeah.
I think that's
otherwise we'll do a whole hour long expose.
I think that's the best marketing deal that they're going to get. So your controversial opinion is that black licorice is disgusting.
No.
Black
licorice is delicious.
My regular opinion is that black licorice is disgusting.
That's probably not actually my most controversial opinion. I think communism is good.
We have some pretty controversial opinions, but we're not going to get too into politics unless it's like a political episode, which I don't think this is.
Yeah, my
controversial opinion isn't as insane as black licorice is good. My most controversial opinion is that dueling should be legal.
I agree.
Yeah, I'm.
I mean,
okay.
I don't because like. How would that work now?
My reasoning behind it is people box like all the time. Like you organize if you organize a boxing match and you box, then no one presses charges unless the police is waiting right outside the UFC ring waiting to arrest Conor McGregor and he just keeps noodle-arming his way out. But the thing is, dueling has like a history. There's many different ways to duel. I might actually do an episode just about the history of dueling, so I'm not gonna get too in depth. But you can duel with practically any weapon, be it like firearms or or swords or knives. I think people have dueled with hammers before. Don't quote me on that, but like
I wouldn't doubt it, honestly.
But my reasoning is, as long as it's not to the death, consensual violence between two people that is pre-organized and like as long as legal documents are signed, you should be able to do whatever the hell you want. That's my opinion.
Okay.
So duels, say like a duel with swords, as long as it's only to first blood, it should be legal, by my opinion.
The problem there is that first blood might be
to the death. But I think if someone dies as a result of dueling, then a thorough investigation should be held. But
do you know how much like resources we would have to devote to dueling death investigations?
Here's the thing. We already have, and that was before the computer age. Dueling, I'm gonna get
there
a little.
Also a lot less people.
I'm getting a little bit into dueling history here, okay. But according to the stage combat professor at University,
I'm not gonna put our university in the podcast. Just
yeah,
so you know.
Yeah, bleep it out. But according to the combat professor there, he's stated that dueling used to be perfectly legal as long as you had a lawyer present and you signed legal documents and there was a doctor there to treat any wounds or injuries that might incur. That included dueling to the death. Yeah, that might occur. But that included dueling to the death.
Right.
So people would originally use it for like life or death matters or insanely like important disagreements. However, more and more
people, just like as a way to assassinate your political opponent.
That's the thing. People started using it as essentially gang warfare. So they were like two people from rival gangs would say like, "Oh, you're on like our turf," and they challenge each other to a duel when it's really not their personal business. It's more of gang business. So they just use it as a way to murder their opponents.
Right.
Abraham Lincoln almost got into a duel, not on gang warfare, but on a political disagreement. I mean, we advocate for punching Nazis, so why not just consensual dueling with people?
I would love for the Democratic primary
fucking duel to the death.
Get rid of the debates and just have them duel each other.
I would love. Or
set
just
set it up tournament style.
I think a WWE
with
match
like
would fit even better.
Whoever's currently polling the highest. And yeah, just like once a week.
Listen.
Until there is only one left.
Listen, I think that Bernie Sanders could impale Joe Biden with a sword on national television.
Oh, yes, yes. I definitely want them to sword fight.
Oh, yes. But yeah, I don't think that dueling with guns should be legal because obviously that's going to cause way more deaths than swords. I think we should be able to duel with...
Maybe, what about those old flintlock pistols, though, or something? Like, historically accurate.
Here's the thing. Alexander Hamilton's son got into a duel, and the bullet lodged into his hip and ricocheted, so it ended up under his left arm.
Oh.
So, yeah.
That is...
It basically just destroyed him. So, I think the dueling with pistols, be it flintlock or just a modern-day Glock, would be incredibly dangerous for anyone involved.
Yeah.
And it's... You can't duel with guns to first blood. It's
bullets
mostly
are
to the
designed
death.
To do a lot of damage, basically.
Yeah, it's basically just a giant ball of lead that's moving fast enough to break skin and go through bone.
Yeah.
So, the guns are a brutal invention, but they're cool as shit. That's the moral of today's story. So yeah, dueling with swords and knives should be legal. That's my controversial opinion. Should we include the
third? I feel like I don't want to say like an actually like really controversial opinion.
Yeah, because the government might be listening, and you know.
Yeah.
Or we might lose friends.
Yeah, I don't want to post cringe and lose subscribers.
I do actually want to hear a controversial opinion of yours that isn't about licorice.
Okay, avocado sucks.
Well, yeah, that's not very controversial.
Yeah,
though.
It is. Do you know how much people down, fucking love avocado?
Deep down, we all know it sucks. As a face mask, it's okay.
My controversial opinion...
It's flavorless and gross.
My controversial opinion is that trans rights are human rights, and it shouldn't be controversial.
You see, yeah, you're right. That shouldn't be controversial. Trans rights are human rights.
Yeah.
But that's not controversial to normal people.
You'd be surprised.
I said normal people, not TERFs. Or just straight-up transphobes.
Yeah.
Is that going to do it for today?
I think so.
Yeah, all right.
We've been recording for 56 minutes.
Yeah, that's another episode done and done.
Thank you for listening to Alchemy Hour. You can find us on Twitter at Alchemy Hour Cast.
Oh, by the way, shout out to our two friends, Amanda Fox and Jess Pontrello.
Yes, for making our lovely, lovely cover art.
Yeah, which you'll see on either Spotify or anywhere else.
Yes, we are available on Spotify, Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher, Anchor, where we publish this.
Mm-hmm. Are we available on the podcast app? Or is that...
like generic podcast app?
Yeah, like the...
I think...
Let me check.
I mean, my podcast app, I had to put in our RSS feed, but...
I'm looking up Alchemy Hour. Hey, we're on the regular, like, iTunes pod... or I don't know if it's iTunes, but the nice podcast app. So that's cool.
Yeah.
You can awesome find... you can find Amanda Fox's art at... Burger Onus. That's spelled
Burger Onus.
That's B-U-R. Spelled Burger on Us.
Yeah. Burger Onus.
On Instagram. I don't think she's on Twitter though.
Yeah. And
Jess Pontrello, you can find her art at,
isn't it at Annie Pop Doodles?
Yes. You can find Jess Pontrello's art at Annie Pop Doodles.
On Instagram. Do you always sit so far away from your microphone?
A little bit.
Look how close I am.
Oh yeah, I just feel like if I sit here,
you turn the gain down on your microphone.
Oh.
That way you can talk closely to it without peeking.
Are we gonna keep this audio in the podcast?
We recorded an entire episode. Yes, we're keeping it. Oh my god.
Okay. Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye. Thank you for listening so much. Follow us on Twitter and send in your questions and fun facts, and we will answer them. Goodbye.